I know it'd be ungrateful on my part if I didn't take this moment to say thank you for being here tonight, to express appreciation for the opportunity to speak to you. And we have quite a few of our number that are with us tonight that weren't able to be with us this morning, and it's good to have you here. In two recent lessons, Pax has explained and certainly made the point that complaining to God is not prudent for one's spiritual well-being and carries some serious spiritual risk and results. So for a few minutes, I'd like to discuss with you perhaps the opposite of complaining, which I suggest is gratitude. Gratitude is the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. As we study together this evening, you'll see the word thanks and thankful and thanksgiving being used to describe the gratitude we are to have. Do those words describing gratitude apply to you and me? Or do we often take things for granted, complain when things don't suit us? Do we look at the glass as half empty rather than half full? For instance, as the Israelites traveled from Egypt toward the Promised Land, did they focus on how blessed they were to escape slavery? Or did they complain about great many things, including what they had to eat? Were the Israelites grateful that God, the Creator, was their God? Or did they turn to the false gods of the people they encountered? As individual Christians and a congregation of God's people, do we continually show appreciation to God and express gratitude to Him for the blessings we have received and continue to receive? For a few minutes, let's consider gratitude and how being grateful is a positive force in both our spiritual lives and our daily existence. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 16, it reads, "Rejoice always." Verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Not only are we to be thankful for everything, Ephesians 5, verse 20 also says, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." Well, why should we be grateful to God? I want to first suggest to you that ingratitude is included among the sins noted in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But in particular, it says, "But realize this, that in the last day, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. If you are ungrateful, you're part of some pretty bad company, according to what I just read. In Romans 1:18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." Verse 21 continues saying, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened." Now, that's pretty bleak and frightening, isn't it? I believe if we're to be pleasing to God, we need to have an attitude of gratitude, and we will benefit from doing so. First, being thankful and having an attitude of gratitude helps us to recognize our limitations, our frailties, our inabilities, our dependence upon the true God of heaven. A search of the internet will show you many, 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 many articles about the benefits of gratitude. One says that gratitude improves physical health and sleep. It improves psychological health, increases empathy, and reduces aggression. It improves social connections, enhances self-esteem, and improves mental strength, and I'm sure the list could continue. If we look at this from a biblical standpoint, ask yourself why we need an attitude of gratitude toward God. Colossians 1, 12 through 14 says, we can be grateful Christ rescued us from spiritual death and gives us a hope of an heavenly inheritance. It reads, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is hugely important as God reminds us of the horror of sin and the power of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:56, it reads, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Think about that. Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't we sing a song? Victory in Jesus? Do you remember daily to be grateful for that victory? The Apostle Paul urges us to remember there in verse 58, the blessing of this requires action on our part. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. What else? Immovable. What else? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. It tells us we must be doers and workers and not just pew warmers. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 14 through 17 tells us that through Christ we can be grateful because we triumph in Christ and become a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved, an aroma from life to life. Christians are winners. Christians are victors in Christ. Are we grateful for that? We must show our gratefulness, our gratitude to God by the way we live and by the way we express that appreciation to Him. We should also have an attitude of gratitude, I think, because we're instructed to do so. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, it reads, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and what? Thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The writer of Hebrews says in the 13th chapter, verse 15, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, what's true? God is pleased. We're instructed to have a bountiful attitude of gratitude because we have been given the true gospel. And we've been instructed in the truth and have made a commitment to Christ, which gives us a hope of salvation. Colossians, the second chapter, verses 6 through 7 reads, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. You know, compared to an eternity of torment with Satan, I'm overflowing with gratitude for all God has given to firmly root and build us up in Christ to establish our faith. In Colossians 3, Gratitude is expressed in a rather interesting way when grateful is described as part of the virtues we're to cultivate and virtues in which we are to clothe ourselves. The passage says, beginning in verse 12, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Another aspect of gratitude, and it is to be part of our prayers. As we look at Colossians, the 4th chapter, verse 2, it says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." In 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse 1, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men." As we think about gratitude, is that it is to be part of our prayers. And then there are some personal benefits that arise from being grateful. I would suggest to you Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Do you ever worry? Evan mentioned this morning as one of the points in his lesson. I'm certainly guilty of this. Senseless, negative thinking instead of worrying. Paul instructs us to pray. Also, do you recall that we sing some words in the song, "Alleluia"? What does it say in verse 3? "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." And then, interestingly, "What a friend we have in Jesus," number 69, verse 1. "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." We sing that in two different songs. Do we mean it? These songs have very same words. They're precious words. They should be words of encouragement to us as we think about the things that concern us in this world. And look to the world where things are going to be wonderful. William Hendrickson has beautifully expressed the importance of giving thanks, saying, "When a person prays without giving thanks, he has clipped the wings of prayer so that it cannot rise." So don't worry. Turn to God in prayer. Verses 6 and 7 of Philippians 4 continues by saying, "Through prayer we obtain the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension." Do you want something for which to be grateful? For me, that's a huge reason right there. The peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. In saying gratitude is key, let's return to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, and 18 for a moment. "Rejoice always in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." When we give thanks in everything, that is, show gratitude to God, we will pray without ceasing. When we pray without ceasing, we will rejoice always. If we desire to have the peace which passes understanding, that joy which is inexpressible, 1 Peter 1, verse 8, then we need to develop the attitude of gratitude, being thankful in everything. We can be grateful for the encouragement, Romans 8, 28, which says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." This statement presumes obedience to God's will, to obey the gospel and to live according to God's will. But think of the strength that it provides we Christians. As we think about this passage in Romans 8, We know that even in the midst of trials, we can rejoice and be grateful that Christ said in the Beatitudes of Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Bad times. Christ said, blessed are those who have been persecuted. And what do we read in another familiar passage in James 1? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Life's not always easy, is it? Life has its challenges. Some of them we really don't want to face. But God's on our side. God is our answer. Earlier, we read again, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When I pray, I need to express gratitude to God. As you'll remember, we sing the words of the hymn, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and what happens? And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. That's true in the good times and in the hard times. In the book of Daniel, chapter 6, 10 through 11, Daniel made the expression of gratitude to God part of his daily prayer, even in the midst of life-threatening crises. Now, with these brief thoughts about the values of being grateful to God, let me ask each of us if we've expressed our gratitude to God recently. Likely we've each have recently expressed in our own words our thanks for food and water and clothing and shelter and life and opportunity and for spiritual blessings. Likely we've each recently said something, some kind of thank you for our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, our brothers and sisters in Christ. As we move toward the end of this shorter than normal lesson for me, I've got a challenge for you, for each of us. Me too. I don't think either you or I will find it totally easy. So here it is. Here's a personal challenge. I challenge each of us to find something new about which to express gratitude to God every day in our daily prayers and actions. This is challenging, but I dare you and me to do it. As a suggestion, you may want to write down a list of the things that you're interested in saying thank you and expressing gratitude about. Brother Phil Arnold said recently, a short pencil is a lot better than a long memory. To help each of us get started on this challenge, we might want to include some items which have made our lives better. There may be things in nature that we've seen, sights and sounds we've enjoyed, the mountains, the lakes, the forest, the wildlife. Perhaps there are things in your personal life, feelings or abilities you want to express thankfulness for. For instance, when was the last time Larry was thankful for his eyesight? If you read as much as I do, I need to be very thankful for that. And that eyesight allows me to read and study and learn more about God. Perhaps you want to express appreciation for Christ as your Savior. And maybe you want to mention God's Word, salvation, your hope, your ability to pray. And if you accept this challenge, whatever list you prepare is going to be unique to yourself. It'll be totally your own. Perhaps you'll focus on God. Perhaps you'll think of other Christians. Perhaps non-Christians will be on your list of things you're thankful for. If we accept this challenge, I suggest it will focus each of us on the positive nature of gratitude and the reasons for which we can be thankful. As a result, we'll do as the song says. We'll count our many blessings and name them one by one, and it'll be surprising to us what the Lord has done. As you express your gratitude in your prayer life and daily life, be specific. Be positive. As some ideals, again, it may be helpful to write down specific reasons we're grateful. One way we express gratitude to others may be in writing notes. I have a sister who sets an example in this area. I can still recall her notes and her spoken words of appreciation and encouragement. She cares enough to express her gratitude and to build up her brothers and sisters in Christ. Perhaps you can show gratitude by offering compliments to someone at home. Maybe you can express gratitude for somebody here at church. Maybe you will express gratitude in some other direction of your daily life. Remember, gratitude is an attitude that can be prayed, spoken, written, or told to whomever, whenever, wherever, at home, church, work, on social media, and so on. Now, I know that not everyone will accept this personal challenge because it is difficult and not something we normally do. But if you accept this challenge, here are some more ideals. First, express gratitude to someone you've never thanked before. That may be difficult. Next, perhaps there is something you appreciate about someone for which you've never thanked them. Perhaps for something more easily done, you can express how grateful you are for a friend for what they've meant to you. Then there's expressing gratitude to someone who has been there for you through thick and thin. I also challenge you to find a reason to express gratitude before you leave this building. And if it involves someone else here right now, share it with them before you leave. Can you do this? Will you do this? I suggest to you that being a person who is grateful and who expresses gratitude to God, his family, his spiritual family, and to others will become stronger spiritually. Face it. We are in a fight in this world for our very souls. It's important that we draw nearer to God daily. It's important we draw nearer to our physical family and our brothers and sisters in Christ daily. We cannot take our relationships to God, our spouses, our children, our brothers, our sisters in Christ, and others for granted. While I understand and accept and believe that gratitude will not resolve every single issue we face in our lives, I suggest that gratitude will help us be the right kind of people internally as we fight the world around us, and to work to not become involved in the things we want to avoid, like the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. As we come to the close of the lesson, for what are you grateful? A beginning list of spiritual reasons might include God's love, John 3:16. It might include Christ's example, Philippians 2:5 through 11. It could include the fact that we have the Bible, God's Word, and we can read His precious promises available to those who love and obey Him, John 14:15. Our gratitude can include being grateful for salvation, Romans 1:16. We have available to us that salvation if we do what God says. It can include our faith in Christ. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, gives us some good examples. Our hope for eternity and our belief in God's promise of a home in heaven for those who will obey Him, John, the 14th chapter. As you consider the subject of gratitude and thinking about what you have for which you're grateful, how have you responded to what I've said so far? How will you respond once you leave this assembly? How much gratitude will you show God, our family, our brothers and sisters in Christ going forward? I freely admit that the expression of gratitude and finding new ways to be grateful can be challenging. I think that it's a challenge worth accepting in order to improve myself and my gratefulness for God and the blessings that He's given me in both the spiritual realm and the physical realm. I'm going to work on it. How about you? As we close the lesson, I urge you to be grateful to the Almighty God who loved us and sent Christ to be our Savior. Be grateful for the blood of Christ which He shed on the cross of Calvary, whereby He paid the price of our sins and those of all mankind. If you're not a Christian, do you understand the gospel message? Have you heard it? Do you believe it? Are you ready to repent of your sins, confess Jesus is the Christ? Let me back up one slide. Are you ready to be baptized for the remission of your sins, living faithfully the rest of your life, serving God? Consider the consequences of not obeying the Lord's commandments. Consider the consequences for eternity of not being in heaven. An eternity in heaven is worth it. Be grateful for the opportunity. So, if you need to respond through baptism or to return to your first love, now is the time. This is the place, as we think often, if you miss heaven, you're going to miss everything. Won't you respond as we stand to sing the invitation song?
Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well madest glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's, and He is mine. He drew me in, I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Let us pray. Dear God, our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this first day of the week that you've blessed us with. We're thankful for the opportunity we've had today to come before you and worship you, singing songs of praise and hearing from your word. Father, we're thankful for this avenue of prayer with which you've blessed us with. We're thankful for being able to come before you and bear our thoughts and unload our burdens upon you and ask for your forgiveness. Father, we're thankful for the congregation that meets here at Southside, and we're thankful for the stand that it makes for the truth. We're thankful for being able to have men that are willing and qualified to serve as elders and deacons, and we pray that as members we would support them in the work that they do, and they would always look to your word for guidance. Father, we ask that you be with those of our number who are sick, dealing with short and long-term illness, as well as our extended family that are also dealing with long-term illness. We pray that if it's your will, that their health could be restored and that they may be comforted, if it is your will. Father, we're especially thankful for you sending your Son to die upon the cross for our sins, and we pray From time to time, as we fall short of what you would have us to be as your children, that we would recognize the things that are wrong in our lives and repent of those things. We pray as we are about to leave this place that you would be with us as we go into our homes and be with us through the week as we go out into the world. Pray that we're always mindful of who we are as your people, and that those we come into contact may see you living in us. In Jesus' holy name, we ask these things. Amen.
Josh.